Okay, so first we're going to talk about Rov Tashmish, which came up yesterday. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Ches writes that if a Jew buys a kli from a guy, let's say a knife to cut paper, to cut cloth, so the first Jew doesn't need to do tevilah. And the Ramah writes, in the name of the Isser V'Heter, that you can't use this knife for Tzarchei Suda, Afilu Derech Arai, below Tvila. And even though you bought it for the purpose of cutting paper, that doesn't matter. You still can't use it for the purpose of cutting food. And however, if he lends it to someone else, according to the Mechaber, we'll talk more about that later, the second person need not use it for food. So the Pashup Shot in the Ramah is that if you use a metal kli for food, you're chayv in tefila. And it doesn't matter that this is Da'ash Mishal Arai, it doesn't matter that it's Mi'at Tashmish, that most of you use the knife for the most part to cut the cloth, and only occasionally you use it to cut your tomato. Nevertheless, you're chayv in tevila. However, the Pri Chadash, Sifkat Niyotes, disagrees. And he says, no, we follow Rov Tashmisho. And therefore, if a Rov Tashmish is for Ochel, it's chayv in tevila, and if Rov Tashmish is for something else, you're pater from tevila. And you could try to argue that even the Ramah would agree if this kli is not meant for food, and you're just occasionally using it for food. And the reason for that is the Shach points out in passing, this isn't his point, but in passing, that this knife was originally made to be a regular knife. However, you decided to use it for cloth. This is Shach Yud Zayin. So maybe the only time the Ramah and the Shach say that Tashmish Arai, that an occasional use is Mechayiv and Tefillah, is when that was the original intention of the Kli, the original, what the Kli is meant for. And you happen to use it for something else. So, Lamashal, if you had a Kli, if there were kitchen shearers, kitchen scissors, and you decided, you know what, I'm going to use them to cut paper. And then you, every so often, you decide you're going to use it for food. So then, B'chiyai Gavna, according to the Ramah, and a shach, you would need tefilas kalim. But perhaps, if it was something that was totally not meant for food, this is a hammer, and you, Epis, want to use your hammer to crack open a nut. We said maybe nut cracking doesn't need tefilas kalim, or something of that sort. You want to use your hammer to mix your lemonade. So, in that case, you wouldn't need tefilas kalim. So it's unclear. Again, there's no raya that the shach and the Ramah say that, but it's possible they would agree. But as we mentioned, the Pri Chadash said is Mekel. The Pischei Tshuva Sif Katan Vav also quotes a Shav Yaakov, that as Linan Basar Rov Tashmisho, at least in a case like this. If you look at the Sefer Tefillos Kalim, Perek Aleph Sif Beis, he's also Mekel, at least in a case of something that's not meant for food originally. So there's Makom, I think there's Makom Lahakel. So let's say my Swiss Army knife. So let's assume for a moment that my primary use for my Swiss Army knife is to cut rope and other things that one would use a Swiss Army knife for. And once in a blue moon, I want to use it to cut an apple. So according to the Mekilim, then you wouldn't need Tefillos Kalim. According to Machmirim, you would. And maybe, again, here too, here Lamaisa, there's Makom Lahakel, if that is, I think, which is probably the truth, the main purpose of Swiss Army knives are not for cutting food, and your primary usage is not for food, and it's just in passing use, I think there's probably Makom Lahakel. Okay. The next question we have to deal with is, what type of kinyanim are chayv and tefillah? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Ayin Hei Amud Beis, says that lo shanu ela belekuchim ukemaisa shahayu. So that's how, for example, we know that if you borrow a kli from a guy, then you're pater from tefillah. This morning I tried to convince the security guard here to be kone the Keurig and then to lend it to us. It took about 10 minutes. I think he understood at the end that's what we did. So why? Because we borrowed it. Okay. So what about the following halacha? What about if a Yisrael borrows a kli from another Yisrael? So the Rashbam on Tosfos quotes, Kevan Shabali Dechiv Tvila Biad Yisrael Rishon Yer Chayv. Right? In other words, even though the Shoel is the Yisrael, again, Yisrael bought it and lends it to his friend. Yisrael bought it and lent it to Yaakov. So Yaakov is Chayv and Tvila, because Yisrael was Chayv and Tvila, and Yaakov was Shoel mi Yisrael. However, the Agos HaShri says the following Chiddush. Let's say Yisrael bought this knife lach doch klafim. So therefore Yisrael is pater from Tvila, and he lends it to Yaakov, and Yaakov decides to use it to cut his oranges. So then, according to Agos HaShri, you're pater. Now, what about if Yisrael was konek leis, is a seller, is a merchant, so he buys kalim from a guy, and he sells it to Yisrael. So the Beis Yosef in Sif Ches is mesupik if you need to do tevilas kalim. Why? What's the suffik? So the suffik is perhaps, do we only say that if there's no chi of tefillah when the Jew first acquires it, so then maybe it doesn't kick in later. So therefore, the Jew buys from the guy, so he's not, Yisrael buys from the guy, and Yisrael owns a store. He owns a silverware store. So Yisrael isn't chayev, because for him, is it klei suda? No, it's klei schora. And then when Yisrael sells it to Yaakov, so Yaakov will be pater. Why? Because it wasn't nischayev k'sheba v'rshus Yisrael. And Memela, it doesn't become Chayev when Yisrael sells it to Yaakov, because then it's not going from a guy to a Jew, it's going from a Jew to a Jew. That's one side of the Beis Yosef. However, Lamaisa, we don't accept this. The Beis Yosef says maybe you could be Medayik, that the Agos HaShri is only Poter in the case where Yisrael buys it and for Lach Toch Klafim and lends it to Yaakov, and Yaakov wants to use it for food. The diuk is, it says, Share Shol Hu Biyado. It's only borrowed by Yaakov. But if Yaakov actually bought it, so then it would be Chayev. And that's the halacha. So the halacha is, if you buy Klei Schora, then you're Chayev. So, and that's in Sif Ches. Now, even though, again, so the Agos HaShri held that if Yisrael buys the knife from the guy Lach Toch Klafim and then lends it to Yaakov, Yaakov can use it for his tomatoes. However, not everybody agrees to that. The Taz and the Shach, even though that view is paskin by the Machaber and the Ramah, the Taz and the Shach both quote the Isser Veheter, who disagrees, and he says, no, if the Yisrael, that Yaakov is Chayv in Tvila. Why? Because since if Yisrael wanted to use his knife to cut oranges, Yisrael would be Chayev. So Memela, it is Nischayev Biyad HaRishon. Fundamentally, it's Nischayev Biyad HaRishon. It happens to be that he had... What does that mean? It's Nischayev Biyad HaRishon Latashmish Shel Suda. And the fact that he lends it now to Yaakov, so that's not Mafkia the Chiyot Tvila Latashmish Suda. And Memela, therefore, Yaakov also is Chayev in Tvilas Kalim. So again, according to the Machaber and the Ramah, Yaakov would be Pater. But according to the Isser Veheter, quoted by the Shach and Taz, Yaakov would be Chayev. Now, the Poskim, take a look at the Sefer Taras Tvilas Kalim, page Kuf Samach Dalet Ha'ara 8 and 9, quote a very interesting chumrah that would emerge from the Hagos HaShri. Again, usually the Shach and the Taz, the Isser Veheter is the chumrah, right? Yaakov has to be tovel the Shach and Shel Klafim if he wants to use it. But there's also a chumrah that would come out from the Hagos HaShri. What's the chumrah? Since it's pater, biyad Yisrael, because Yisrael designated it for chituch klafim, right? The fact that theoretically, if he wanted to use it for food, isn't machayev the tefila. So it's pater biyad Yisrael. So now, let's say Yisrael were to be tovel it, that tevilah would be ineffective for Yaakov's use, because you tovel the kli that wasn't chayev b'tevilah. You could have said, who cares? Once you tovel it. But the answer, at least you could make the case, is no, that's not true. The tevilah's kli is only effective. It only is a chalos. It's only a kiyum of the mitzvah if there is a mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah, then there's no kiyum. So therefore, since there's no mitzvah for Yisrael to be tovel the kli, why? For him, it's a kli. It's a sak and lachtoch boklafim. So memela, even if he is tovel, it's ineffective. So what's a nafkamina for this? Let's say I own a silverware store. So I want to go ahead and make it easy for my customers. This is also, you know, people don't like bothering doing tefillah. I'm going to have a big sign on the thing. All kalim are toveled already. This way people will buy from my store. And I don't have to be worried about the selling to non-frim people that aren't going to be toveled. Great. Does this work? Well, it would work according to the Yisav Heter, according to the Shach and Taz. Why? Because fundamentally I'm chayiv in the sense that if I wanted to use this spoon to eat with, I would have to do tefillah. But according to the Agos HaShri, it's pater from tefillah, because right now by me, it's a klei schora. And therefore, if I'm tovel, it is ineffective. And therefore, if the customer buys it, he's going to have to do tefillah again. And that's the psak of the Mechaber Neramah. So therefore, I can't pre-tovel the kalim. And this has some interesting applications. You know, some kalim stores have mikvahs on premises, right? So according to this, you'd have to buy the kli first and then be tovel it. You can't just be tovel it and then buy it. Okay, they probably want you to do that anyway, just in case you break it. But let's say I want to give a gift to somebody. So I want to be tovel it for them, especially, let's say, I know they're not so careful about tefillas kalim. So I decide I'm going to be tovel it for them. So I'm potter. Because for me, it's not klei schora. For me, it's something. My usage of this kli is to give a gift. So memela, I'm potter, and therefore, if I tovel it for them, it doesn't work. Right? There's somebody who wanted. There was like a shul that wanted to give shalach manos out, and it was like shalach manos in a nice glass bowl. They weren't actually putting the food in the bowl, like food that needed tefillah. Like there's, you know, bag of cookies in the bowl and a bottle of wine. So since the shul was giving it out, so they figured people will, they didn't want to like put a sign, you know, needs tefillah. And they thought that people would assume that like a bowl coming from the shul maybe doesn't need tefillah's kalim. So they just wanted to be tovel all the bowls first. So if you're machmir on the shayla, that doesn't help. So if it's like a one-time thing, let's say I'm giving a gift to someone and I know they're not so careful about tefillah, so I could maybe be machna to them in advance, or maybe I could use it, right? I could use it. In other words, why make a one-time use, put some food in it? So, you know, in a one-time basis, you could get around this problem, but sometimes it's a problem. So many poskim are choshish. Rav Shechter, though, was mekel. And Rav Shechter's mekel because he's also machmir. He really thinks that the Yisav Heter is correct, the Shach and the Taz are correct, the Agos HaShri is wrong, it doesn't make too much sense. And therefore, memela, since he's machmir, that he thinks he would pass him like the Shach and the Taz, any time even the Shoal wants to use the Kli, he has to do Tefillah, even though the Mashiel has it as a Kli, Sak and Lachtoch Boklafim. Memela, the Mocher or the like should and can, or not doesn't should, but can do Tefillah's Kalim. Yeah.
So the Sermon Hunter is not saying, I mean, that the second part of this is a chayav in tefillah, right? Meaning there's nothing wrong if he doesn't do tefillah when he sells it.
The Isher Veheter? No, he's not. He's it's a theoretical chayav. Meaning today it's a kli that's toned tefillah if you want to use it for food, right? So memela, it's begadur neschayav biyada risho. It's not a kli that's mufka from tefillas kalim. Oh. So, yeah.
Just according to Agos HaShri, what's it like? Why, if the second Jew buys it, then he would be chayav?
So presumably the answer. What's the diak or what's the logic?
The logic. Yeah,
the logic is that the idea that you're only chayav in tefillah if it's neschayav when it first comes into the Jew's hand isn't true. So the first guy isn't chayv in tefillah, but since it originated from a guy, so the second guy is chayv in tefillah.
So what about when he borrows it? I mean, then it's like never really...
No, but you have to say that there, since he's only borrowing it, so he his as a shoel cannot be mechayev in tefila. A shoel is chayev in tefila if the mashiel is chayev in tefila, but she'el itself isn't a mechayev in tefila. Just like, for example, if I borrow from a guy, I'm not chayev in tefila. So too, if I borrow from a Jew who's pater from tefila on this kli, I'm also pater. But if I buy it, so then I'm chayev. I assume that's the logic. Okay, so this idea, the Pischei Tshuva Sifka and Tes quotes the Binas Adam, that based off of this idea, that at least the Mechaber Shita, that goes Ashri, so some people are makel for sudos gedolos lishol kleis chuchas mechen v'nivelo latvilam. Right, let's say I'm making Shavu Brachos and I need 80 wine goblets, crystal wine glasses. So I go to a crystal store and I say, oh, could I borrow or rent your 80 wine cups? So he says, sure. So now he's potter, right? Because after all, for him it's kleis chora. And Memela, at least if you follow the Mechaber and the Ramban, it goes Ashri, so I should also be Pater as well. And the Pischei Tshuva writes, even though the Shach and the Taz are choshes for this of a heter, and therefore this would be wrong, but since the Mechaber and the Ramban did not bring that view, and the Pri Chadash disagrees, Letzarech Shabbos, or Letzarech Orchim, or Letzuda Gdoila, Yesh Lismoch al Kolpanim Bekleis Chuches, Lishnamish Bahen Below Tvila. Why? Because anyway, they're derabbanan. So according to the Chachmas Adam, at least b'shasa tchak or letzarch mitzvah, I could borrow those wine cups for my shavu brachos from the store owner and not do tefilas kelim. Ah, and the Aruch HaShulchan Sifkat Memhei is matir even for clay matchos, and he writes that this minag is pashat this minag b'chol tfutzos Yisrael. So that is step two, right? Step one is call it Kula 1 is the Hagos Ashri, Kula 2 is the application of the Binas Adam and Aruch HaShulchan. Then, step 3, Kula number 3, is the Shevet Sofer. It's quoted in the Darkei Tshuva.
What?
Shevet Sofer. I think it was a grandson of the Chassam Sofer. It's in Darkei Tshuva, Sifka and Pechas. Everybody cites this view, largely to argue on him. But anyway, he says, so according to this, maybe the seltzer bottles or cups that they have at a kiosk, or for that matter at a restaurant or caterers or the like, would be pater from tevila. In other words, here's the question. Does a kosher restaurant have to be told of their dishes and their cups, right? So obviously, if it's a kosher restaurant owned by a guy, then there's no need. But if it's a kosher restaurant owned by a Jew, so I would have thought you would need it. Says the Shefer Sofer, no. Why? Because for the restaurant owner, this is kleis chayra. And I'm the patron of the restaurant, am being shoel kleis chayra. So according to the Hagos Ashri Mechaber Rama, it would be pater. And this, as I said, it's quoted by the Darkei Tshuva, Sifkat and Ayin, also there. He's Marech, the Minchas Yitzchak. Pechas and Ayin, yeah. And Minchas Yitzchak, Chelak Aleph, Simon Mem Dal talks about it and the like. So Rabbi Schechter is very opposed to this. The way he calls it is a kula, gabe kula, gabe kula, chut ha-mishulash, but each one of the chut ha-mishulash is the shvach ha-chut. So if 0 + 0 + 0, right? So why? Because first of all, he thought the whole Hagos HaShri against this Vheter is a kula, that shvach, we pass him like the shach and taz. And then to extend it to like the Binas Adam and, I mean, I guess it's really one kula. And I think he says a kula gabi kula. And then he says, but the biggest problem is the Shevet Sofer's application. It doesn't really make sense because Bishlama, in the case of that Hagos HaShri, so the Rishon is really Pater, right? Because why? For him, it's a sak in lachdoch bo klafen. Or even in the case of a store owner, this is a little bigger chiddush, but you could say he's really potter, because his only usage is for selling. Mash'ein ken over here, if I own a restaurant, so the way I use my kelim is by giving them to my patrons to use, right? The Rishon is chayev. He's using the kelim for eating, for drinking. How could you say you're pater? And therefore, many, many poskim are machmir and nishayla. It seems like a while back there were mekilim and certain restaurants were mekel and certain kashrus organizations allowed restaurants to be mekel. But now, I think at least good kashrus organizations don't allow it. Rav Moshe is machmir, Yardei Chelek Imelsim in Chaf Beis. He's talking about a hotel also. Rav Avadia is a tshuva where he's more or less machmir. Yechav Adas Chelek Dalad, Simen Mem Dalad. And also Yabi Omer. Chelek Zion, Simon Tess, and others as well. The Chazon Ish, which is quoted in the Sefer Tefilas Kelim, Paragimel Ha'arachav Dalet, and others are all machmir on this Shaila. I don't know whether you would, whether we would say with a bracha. Does the restaurant owner tova with a bracha or not? I'm not sure. But certainly, Lamaisa, he should be Tovel.
So would the Hagos Ashri say the same thing for Matana? The first Jew bought it, not for Sura, but for Matana, and then the second Jew received it as Matana, but didn't borrow it, which is logic apply there.
But then it's Neschai B'Arasheni, that's the Maskana of the Beis Yosef. In other words,
he buys it, right?
No, I think gift also. Anything as opposed to borrowing.
As opposed to being borrowing, okay.
Right. In other words, the idea, just like when you buy it from a guy or you get it as a gift from a guy, your chayv and tefila, so too, when the sheni buys it from the rishon or is given as a gift from a rishon, it's chayv.
Wouldn't it be likely that the owner of a restaurant would every once in a while offer his own kelim?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the kelim say that's Mia Tashmish. Rove Tashmish is for my patrons.
For somebody else to eat with.
And Mia Tashmish is for me to eat it.
It's a very strange
rule. Okay, I agree. But that is the that is the kula. Okay. Another question comes up. What about if I'm eating at somebody's house and I don't think they were Tovol or Kalin? This Lamaisa, Baruch Hashem, it's not as common as it used to be. It used to be very, common that from Jews that kept kosher didn't really know about Tefilas Kalim. It was just not a, it's one of those mitzvos that people didn't observe. Baruch Hashem, Achshar Daran, it's not true. I think most people nowadays that you would trust their kashrus probably are tovel their kelim. But it still could come up. Or even if you don't trust their kashrus, you're, drinking a glass of water at their house or the like. So are there any tzadim lahakel? So there are a number of kulas that the post can bring, which again, generally speaking, we wouldn't rely on at all. But maybe b'shas adchak, there's what to consider. So number one, we've already mentioned at Igor Smosha Chelek Imel Simen Mem Chaf Beis, his kula about kelim, which you only use for nimusim. Meaning to say what? Let's say, let's take a plate, right? So I don't really need to eat on a plate. I could eat on a tablecloth. Why do I eat on a plate? Because that's good manners. So Memela will say, okay, so that plate is not really a clay suda because it's not necessary. It's just there. It's a clay manners. It's not a clay suda. Likewise, a fork and a knife. I could eat with my hands, right? Now, obviously, this kula doesn't help for glasses. So don't drink. Maybe Makom Safik, there's more room to be makel for glasses. If it's a Safik, if there is Tfilas Kalin because it's the Rabbanan, maybe it wouldn't be Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin because you don't have the rishus to be Tovel. What about bowls of soup? Sounds like from Rav Moshe it would be machmir for soup. Though when Rav Willig said over this kula, he thought you could be makel even for bowls of soup and spoons because you could drink the soup from the bowl, right? At least if it's not too hot, wait for it to cool down a little. Then you could drink the soup from the, maybe it depends on the shape of the bowl. Like some bowls have like ridges on the rims on the edge, so fancy bowls you can't really drink from them.
You make up the spoon, not the bowl, right?
Well, usually bowls anyway will be potter. But if you, Rav Willing thought that you could drink from, if it's a bowl you could drink from, like it doesn't have a rim on it, so then that would both exempt a spoon and a bowl.
Aren't plates and bowls the example in Gemara of what you need to do?
What's the Gemara say?
What's the lesson of Gemara? Slochius or something like that?
Slochius is a
good bottle.
Why would a bowl be pater normally?
Oh, if it's usually it's made out of if you're Magal in China.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. But yes. Okay. So that is kula number one. We said this is like a little Rav Moshe Lashitaso by is a toaster kula. Okay. It's the same thing, right? Same shuva, I think. Yoradei chelik yamul chaf dalad. No, chaf beis and chaf dalad. Okay, next to each other. Fine. Kula number two, or issue number two, is you have to consider if the iser shtamshus is a din deraisa or a din derabban. We already talked about earlier, machlok saposkin bedin zeh. But on its side, it's derabbanan, so maybe you could be mekel b'makom safek. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute. Maybe you could be make, even though we said generally speaking, safek derabbanan of tefillos kelim, you have to be machmir because zevashi shlamatirin. But maybe if there's no matir, because you don't have that authority to be tovel kelim, you can't just steal somebody's kelim and start being tovel them. Not a clear svara. Maybe b'makom kavod abrios, if it comes down to that, we're more mekel for an iser derabbanan. The Orz of Ruah sounds like this, or Shtamshus is deraisa. As we mentioned, the Prima Gadim, or Chaim Simin Taf Pei Vav, sounds that way as well. Those two sources sound like it's an Isser deraisa, the Orz of Ruah and the Prima Gadim. What's the Pshat if it is an Isser deraisa? The Pshat is that it's a bitul asay. There's an asay to be Tovel Kalim, and if I use the Kalim, become Vasay, without. Without toveling them, so that's an ibitul deraisa. And that was actually the implication of the Rambam, right? Again, the Rambam might not hold its deraisa, but that's part of the ikar chiyav. Because the Rambam says, Tvilas kelim, tvilas zu, shemat bilin klei suda, hanel kacham in agayim, v'achar kach yutru l'achila. So that's only a bit of very sofrim. On the other hand, many poskim are mekel, that the Yisrael Shnaus is only derabanan. Among them, Yeshuas Yaakov, Simon Kof Chaf, the Bir Halacha, Simin Shin Chav Gimel, Sif Yud Zaydi B'Maschel Mutter, just a parenthetical point. I think that's what most poskim assume, the Yisrael Shtamshus is only Midrabanan. The Chalkas Ben Yamin has an interesting Ka'ara. It says, let's say, this is at the beginning, the beginning of Simen Kuf Chaf, Biurim Dimas HaKone. He says, let's assume that the Isser Shtamshus is only Derabbanan, right? So why isn't there an Isser Shtamshus Midoraisa? So the Pshat is that Minat Torah, the Mitzvah's Tefillah, is not Talu in Hishtamshus per se, L'chora, right? It's just a Mitzvah to do. So then he says, so then maybe we would say that you should be Tovel Kalim immediately. Let's say, is there an Indian as using Makdim and L'mitzvah? So, do I have to, I buy a Kli. So I'm not planning to use it for several more months. So is there an issue? Should I be Zariz to be Tovel in a mikvah? Or you want to do Yosei Schap and have a box of forks that you just for a Safik Tvilas Kalim. So, none of the poskim, I think, that I found say there is an inyan of Azriz and Makdimin. But he points out that if you think the Isser Shtamshus is only Midrabanan, and therefore you think the Gadir of the Mitzvah Deoraisa has nothing to do with Hishtamshus per se, it's not the Hishtamshus that's Machayev, so then Meila, you would, it wouldn't be. But I don't know. I don't think anyone, as I said, I don't think anyone's Machmir for that. Shlomo Zalman Arbach also paskins Lamaisa that the Isser Shtamshus is only Midrabanan. And I think Rav Shechter as well. That's one of the reasons why he's more makel for Lector Kalim. The Avnei Nezer also, I think, is makel. It's an Or Chaim Taf Yud Chesif Os Yud Aleph. And because of this, Rav Shechter and the Archa Shulchan and the Avnei Nezer, they all say this idea in a little different way, but they said maybe there's a tzad lahakel in a case where you're a guest at somebody's house, because the iser ishtamshus, whatever it is, I guess, whether it's deraisa or derabanan, is only if is a result of the mitzvah to be tovel. So memelef, if I can't do the mitzvah because I don't own it, and it's somebody else's kli, and I can't just steal their kli and be tovel it. So memela, since the Isser Shtamsha stems from the Chiyuv to do the mitzvah, if there's no possibility of doing the mitzvah, so then Memela, there's no Isser Shtamsha. So the Avnei Nezer compares this to the view in the Mordechai Menachos, also Tosa Rush, that that in Shabbos, right? That if you're not chayav, you're not vatal the mitzvah of tzitzis if you wear beged shel arba kanfos on Shabbos without tzitzis. Why? Because since there's no possibility of putting tzitzis on this garment, why? Because I'm not allowed to tie tzitzis on Shabbos. So memela, I'm not mevatal the mitzvah by wearing a beged shel arba kanfos without tzitzis. There's only a bittul mitzvah when there's the possibility of being mekayim the mitzvah.
Isn't that work for those kiyum on Shabbos too? For tzilas kiyum on Shabbos too?
Correct. Correct. Unless you say that the din de rabbanon isn't mafkia the chiyuv deraisa. So it's only a suffix, actually, whether you could be tovel kelim or not. So maybe that's the pshat. Or maybe you're right. Nachanami, the Shulchan Aruch is against this, but it's at least a tzad lahakal. But it is a machlok. It's not clear we actually paskin that you can't be tovel kelim and shalom. Lysa or machmir, but it's already a machlokas. Two deos in Shulchan Aruch, right?
You just think that's an easy to give it to a garden that you...
Right. So that's another tzad lahakal. As I said, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach doesn't like it alone to rely on it because he thinks, okay, well then I'm over on Lifnei Iver. It's true. Fundamentally, I'm pater from Tfilas Kelim because the chiyuv's on him and there's no Iser Shtamshus if there's no possibility for the mitzvah. But by my using his kli without being tovel it, he is now being over on the Iser Shtamshus. And therefore I shouldn't do it because that's Lifnei Iver. The Tfilas Kelim Sefer, page Peivav Harachaf, has another interesting kula. It's quoted from the Tshuva's base Avi, Rabbi Libus, who wants to say that an Oreach isn't like a Shoel, because he's not Mechayev in Achrayas, if it breaks. And therefore, there's no Chiyuv Tefillah at all. Now, there's a lot of Chidushim in this. First of all, the nature of an Oreach for the Kelim is a big Shiloh, so again, Adarim and other places. And second of all, to say that therefore the owner is also not chayev, not at all clear. But that is another tzad that some poskim say. So those are some of the kulas. Okay, what's the halacha? So we just said if I forgot to be tovel, so if it's on Shabbos and I can't do tefilas kelim, so the Shulchan Aruch says that you give it to a guy and then borrow it back. Not everybody likes that. The Tshuvas Rashbash says that this is inappropriate. It's a harama of the Aser. But I think we're makil to rely on this b'shas adchak. The Taz writes, though, that this pitaron only works for a short term. But long term, it doesn't work. It would require tevila even if it technically belongs to the guy because he writes, Kevan she yishtaka olamis biyado Yisrael, vadei have kilakuach biyado. And this is an idea that different variations we see. You see a little bit in the Sugya of Mashkon. You see it in Tosfos that Shem Yisrael nikra alav and the like. We don't only look at ownership when it comes to Tfilas Kelim. We also look at who is this kli associated with. And therefore, even if technically speaking, the Jew is the guy is the full-fledged owner, since it's perceived and it seems like a Jewish kli, so then according to the Taz, it's chayv and tefillah. And as I mentioned before, this question of whether you can be tovel kelim on Shabbos or not is a machlokes. If you look at Nor Chaim, Shulchan Aruch Shin Chaf Gimel Zayin, so the Rif says it's mutar lahatbil kelim b'Shabbos, the Yesh Omrim in the Mechaber, which is the view of the Rosh, is that it's aser, and the Mechaber writes Yari Shemaim Yetzei Kulam to give it to a guy and borrow it back, and the Rama over there gives another etzah that you could use on Shabbos, though it's not so practical for us anymore. But you go ahead and you fill up the kli with water, as though you just want a cup of water, so you dip your cup into the mikvah, and that would work because it's not obvious then that it's. Looks like misakein mana, sort of like the harama of nira kameikar for going into the mikvah to be mitaher. But as I said, that it's a There's actually a discussion in the poskim whether that eitzah works, right, if the harama is obviously wrong, right? Like nowadays we do. We don't really have nerik hameikar anymore. Anyway, another topic.
Well, the entire one.
Right.
Not that anyone wants to be the entire one.
Right. Yeah, so he doesn't give a time frame, but it's possible you have a month, right? The Taz doesn't say it works only for 16 hours or till Shabbos ends, but since it does expire, so Memela, after Shabbos is over, you should do it. Now, when exactly it ends isn't clear, right? It works even b'chol if there's no mikvah available as well. So there's no specific time limit, and maybe an analogy is shloshim yom from talashula. Maybe that would be a good parallel. Okay, what about cans? So we talked about disposable kalim. Let's assume for a moment that one would be machmir on disposable kalim. So cans or bottles or the like. So the poskim talk a lot about this. The two, there's a very important tshuva, Tzvi De'esh Chelek Beis. Maybe Tzimin Beis, I guess. Let's see, we have it down here. I don't know, I just wrote down Beis. I don't know, maybe I didn't write down the whole tune. Oh, here it is. No, Beis Chavtes, sorry. He quotes the Chuvos Prihasada set that as soon as you, even though if food doesn't become usser, maybe you should empty out the kli immediately. And he, as well as the Chuvos Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Ches Simen Chafav, bring a number of tzadim lahakel. So here's four of the tzadim that they bring lahakel. Number one is that Mistama, the lokeach, doesn't have in mind to buy the can or the bottle. Rather, Mishtamesh Bahem Derech She'ela V'lo Derech Kniya. Why? Because I don't want to buy this bottle or this can if it's going to be Machayev me in Tfilas Kalim. That's not in my interest. And therefore, I Ki'ilu have in mind not to buy it. Number two, that according to this, you could not reuse it. Correct. Well, unless you're going to permanently have it belong to the guy, sort of. But it would be problematic. You could argue. You could say, "I'm never koneh. This is on permanent loan." Wouldn't work according to the Taz. Number two is they say there's no zman haroi l'tvila. Why? Because how do you use a can? When it's closed, so obviously I can't be tovelet. Then I open it, then I'm done with it. It's what? She should be tovel the whole thing,
yeah.
The outside and the middle of the inside. That's not facing the whole thing, the whole area that funded the. Okay, here. Interesting.
It's not right to be right.
Yeah. So that's what they say. They say, no, it's not. There's no possible time to be tovelet. Because as long as it's closed, I can't be tovelet. And once I empty the contents, maybe they're makel because base otzar. As long as it's just holding it, it's pater, and then fine. So obviously now some of these kulas would not necessarily apply to, let's say, Snapple bottle. For example, here, so. You could argue that, okay, you're right, I don't have to hold the Snapple bottle until I open it, but once I open it, I either have to empty out the contents immediately or be tovel it. Number three, that they say before the kalim are opened, they're not roilios kli, because they're totally sealed. And after you open it, so maybe you've made it into a kli, but then who made the kli? It's the Yisrael. Again, not clear if that would apply to a Snapple bottle, which is already a kli, it's just closed, right? And finally, number four is that cans are not clay suda because they're just holding things. It says, Lo dami l'chav l'isayin, rakuf sot shimurim enem ru'yin l'shimush kazeh klal, kol o chem skurim, v'gam kishepotchim osam, Al pi rov morikim miyad kol hamaychol misham shelo iskalkel. Im kein b'chol ki agav na yesh lomar de kule alma yodu shelo nechshavim klal l'klei suda. In other words, maybe even the machmirim for barrels or bottles of wine would be mekel here. Again, this probably wouldn't apply to a Snapple can. So there are machmirim. The Sefer Tefilas Kelim quotes the Chazon Ish in Amud Kuf Yud Aleph Arachaf, that the Chazon Ish said you didn't have to open them before you wanted them, but when you're ready for them, you have to empty out the contents immediately. And the Sefer Tefilas Kelim says he doesn't understand that, because if you think they're pater beforehand because they're not a kli, so then why don't you say it's a kli made al yidei Yisrael? And in fact, the Chazon Ish does seem to think that opening it is asiyas kli. That's why he's so machmir about opening it up on Shabbos. That might not apply anymore. Chazon Ish, olden days they used to save cans and use them for things. Even my grandparents, I remember they kept things in their cans. But at least the Chazon Ish is machmir for cans on Shabbos because of asiyas kli. So then l'chora, why don't we say that's asiyas b'yad Yisrael? So the Sefer Tefilas Kelim goes back and forth how to understand the Chazon Ish. But again, even though there is a lot of room lahakel for cans, the bigger question that we have to figure out is what about Snapple bottles and the like. So many of the reasons that the poskim give for cans, as we just noted, don't apply to Snapple bottles. So what svaros could we have to be makel for Snapple bottles? So again, in the Sefer Tefilas Kelim Ha'arei Yudalid, he brings a number of tzadim lahakel. Number one, the Chelkas Yaakov writes what we said before, that lo nicha le likno sakli, okay, in order to be aser. So that reason does apply. Number two, the Maril Diskin and Rav Moshe Feinstein in Yerodeah Chelik Beisim and Mem and Koflamed Zayin says that the kli is batel to the food. Here too is a svara that we find from Hilchos Shabbos. This is one of the reasons given why you could open up bags and things on Shabbos, because we see the kli as being batel to the food. And therefore over here too, maybe the kli is batel to the food, and therefore you're pater. And Rav Moshe gives an interesting raya from the sugya. The halacha is that you're allowed to buy, let's say, a barrel of wine with Meiser Sheni money in Yerushalayim. Now we know the halacha is that you have to use the Meiser Sheni money entirely on edible products. So why are you allowed to buy the barrel? And the halacha is that the kli is yotzei l'chulin. So the Gemara in Erevin Chav Zayinim Beis talks about this. But basically, the svara is that it's batel to the kli is batel to the wine, let's say. So to over here, we see the Snapple bottle as batel to the Snapple. And finally, a third svara l'hakel was from the Maril Diskin, cited again in the Tefilas Kelim Sefer, and he says, that Tashmish Sheva Alta says pater. And therefore, simply storing the Snapple is considered Sheval Tasa. Now, according to these Svaros, the question would be, what if I want to, after I open it, could I drink from it? So if you learn, like the Chalkas Yaakov Svara, that you had no intention to buy the bottle in the first place, so then you should, right? If you learn, like the Rav Moshe Svara, that the Kli is Batel to the food, you should still be Pater. If you think you hold that the Kula is because of Sheval Tasa, so maybe now drinking from the bottle is no longer considered Shev Al Tasa, it's considered Kumvase. So the Sefer Tefilas Kelim quotes that Shlomo Zalman held you didn't have to empty out the bottle, because that too is considered Shev Al Tasa. Simply, when you drink from the bottle, you're simply removing the contents from the bottle, and that's considered Shev Al Tasa. But Rabbi Shechter thought, no, when you drink from a bottle, you're using the bottle as a cup, and that's a Ishtam Shos Kumvase. What do you mean? You're using the cup. You're using this is basically a glass cup. You're going to say that glass cups don't need Tefilas Kelim. No, of course they need Tefilas Kelim. So too, here you should need Tefilas Kelim. And Rav Shechter, as we mentioned earlier, said even though there's makom lahakel perhaps for disposable things that get ruined after a couple of times, like Rav Moshe says, but over here, where the Snapple bottle is fundamentally ro'i to last forever, you could use a Snapple bottle for a whole year. Then you would be chayev. And therefore, Rav Shechter thinks that if you buy a Snapple, you can't drink from the bottle. You have to get a cup along with it and drink from the cup. He's mesupik if you could drink with a straw. that is that considered the Sheva Al Tasar Kumase? But again, Rav Shachter thinks the fundamental Ptur, the reason why I don't have to open the Snapple bottle immediately and be tovel it and empty the contents is because that's a Shtamsha Sheva Al Tasar. But once you want to drink from it, that's a Shtamsha Kumase and a Mele Yerchayv. And then we also mentioned earlier, the Svara of Rav Willig, that no, since these are not meant to be permanent kalim, so then if I decide to make it into a permanent kli, so then that's considered a kli that was made al yidei Yisrael, and therefore it's pater. So I could eat Rav Willig, also Rav Bluth said the same svar, and it's quoted in Tfil Skelem Sefer, and therefore it's nasa b'yad Yisrael, so you could use it permanently for drinking. Now, Avi pointed out after that shir that the two things that Rav Willig said seemed to contradict each other. On the one hand, he said he didn't want to say that disposable is not a kli, because that might have repercussions in terms of a kiddush or a netilas yadayim or the like. But at the same time, he's willing to say it's nasa b'yad Yisrael. So I asked that to Rav Willig yesterday, and he said he has to think about it. But Avi suggested maybe the answer is that you have to say it's a bit of a chiddush, but there's an intermediate case. This is a kli, but it's not a kli chashav, and therefore l'inyan tefilas kalim, it's not a kli. It's not a kli l'inyan tefilas kalim. So therefore, when you decide to use it permanently, you've changed the designation. You've made it a kli l'inyan tefilas kalim, and therefore it's considered nasis v'yad Yisrael and it's pater. That's a chiddush because that's not like a category that obviously exists. But that's what he felt. Okay. A ha'ara, what about if you sell your kalim for pesos? We mentioned before that there are some achronim, this is not the recommended by most poskim, who say that you have to be concerned about blios and kalim, or perhaps your mamashas that's attached to it, and therefore there are those that recommend selling their kalim for Pesach. So what about if you do that after Pesach when you get your kalim back, are you chayv in tefilas? If you look at the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkan Yud Gimel from the Chachmas Adam, that in fact you would be chayv in tefilas kalim. And that's why he advises not to sell your kalim. And this is also the view of the Noda B'Yehuda. However, the Aruch HaShulchan Se'if Katan Nun Beis writes, you don't have to be told the kalim again. Why? Because everybody knows this is only a chumrah, and Medina, you're not over in Bayirav Vali Matzeh, and also everybody knows that they're going to go back to the Yisrael after Pesach, and therefore, it continues to be Nikra Shem Bailam Alav, even when it's sold to the guy. It's Nikra Al Shem Bailas Yisrael. It's like the Taz flipping it, and therefore, you're Pater and Tefillah from when you get it back.
Which simon is this?
Nun Beis. Okay. Another discussion that comes up in the Shulchan Aruch is Umen Kona B'Shvach Kli. So we're not going to get into it so much, but what's the halacha if you go ahead and you give a Kli to an Umen Guy to be misaking it? So Toso says, even according to the Manda Amar Umen Kona B'Shvach Kli, and therefore this Umen Guy is like a partial owner of this kli, and therefore maybe you would think that when you get it back, you're chayv in tefillah, right? So Tosa says, no, you're nevertheless pater, because de'ein shmo alav, it's kemaiser shahaya, right? Just like that, the Aruch HaShulchan we just said, but here it's less of a chiddush. In other words, even we don't always follow technical ownership, right? Even if technically, yes, the guy owns mitzvah kli, because he was kone b'shvach kli, nevertheless, Shem Yisrael remained on this kli the whole time. Nobody thinks that when I give it to John, the repairman, that it's John's kli. It's Nikra Shem Yisrael Alav, and therefore I'm Pater. That's a view of Tosfos. However, the Rush quoted, Simon Lamed Hay, that there were some that say that the Yisrael, when he gets it back, should be Chayv and Tefillah, because Umen Kona B'Shvach Kli, and then there's sort of an intermediate view. It's not clear exactly what he holds. Beis Yosef, everybody's Mayrach on it, but the Ritzva, who also says that there will be times that if you get the kli back from the Uman, the Yisrael will be chayv and tefillah. And l'inyan halacha, the Mechaber and the Rama argue. The Mechaber says, Yisrael shenasan kesef l'uman ovi kochavim, las menu kli, eino tzarch tefillah, like Tosfos. And the Rama says, v'yesh chokin, v'yesh l'tov lo b'lo bracha. So the Chazon Ish in Bava Kamma, at the end of Os Yud, writes, this machlokes probably doesn't apply so much anymore. Why? Because everybody's going to agree that you follow the laws of the land for this matter. In other words, if in America, let's assume, and I'm assuming this is the case, you have to ask a lawyer for sure, but if in America it's true that if you give your silver Kiddush cup to a silver repairman to fix, and let's say even he fixes a hole in the bottom, right? And he uses his, that we don't say in American law, Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. American law, we see even the Uman as repairing my Kli, not acquiring the Kli. So therefore, practically speaking, you would not be need to be Tovel the Kalim Bizman Hazeh. Now, what about factories? So if you take a look at the Pisrei Tshuva, he talks about this. There are some that say that, let's say, you have a Jewish owner of the factory, but Goyish workers, right? Let's say in Eretz Yisrael, right? So a lot of the factories might be owned by Jews, but let's say it's all Arab workers. So if you buy a Kli from such a factory, do you need Tefilas Kelim? Do we say that since the Jew owns the factory, you're Potter from Tefilas Kelim? Or do we say no, since the workers are non-Jewish, and Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, maybe you're Chayev? So there were poskim that say you're Chayev, but the Archa Shulchan and Rav Moshe Feinstein, Archa Shulchan is in Nunches, Rav Moshe is Yardei Chelik Beis, says no, that doesn't make any sense at all. Why? Two reasons. First of all, workers in a factory are not umanim, right? They are poelim. They're paid by the day, they're paid by the hour, right? The idea, they're not an uman. It's only uman that's kona b'shvach kli, a poel, schir yom. They are not kona b'shvach kli, number one. Number two is that Moshe throws in that anyway, in factories, the ikar creation of the kli is by machines. And the poelim just help the machines. So therefore, you definitely wouldn't say uman kona b'shvach kli, even if the workers were umanim. In other words, they weren't paid like poelim. Yeah.
In this case, and also the case of uman kona b'shvach kli, is there no chashivas in this consideration to who actually making it? Like if the uman is considered to have made your kli of sorts by fixing it significant way, or in this case,
So that's one of the things that the Beis Yosef and talk about how significant it needs to be, their contribution, their Ritzvah and the like.
But in general, besides, I always view it as like if the Goy makes the Kli. So that's not, we're saying that's not really relevant.
That would be if you hold Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. In other words, if I go ahead and I go to the Goy and I give him a block of silver, and I say, make me a Kiddush cup. So that's the case that the Mechaber and the Ramah disagree. According to the Mechaber, I'm Pater, and according to the Ramah, I'm Chayev.
But if the guy made it on his own enough,
if the guy makes it on his own and sells it, of course I'm Chayev. Right. Right. Or even if the Ramah writes, you use a bra, even if he uses his silver, right? So then Vade, you'd be Chayev.
And in the factory case, I assume most of the time the factory would then sell it to like a retailer, correct?
So then if the retailer is Gaius, you need to do it. If the retailer is Jewish, then and the factory was Jewish and the factory owner was Jewish, then you'd be Potter.
There's like some hocus communists and capitalists. if the workers own the kelim.
Aha, okay, you're right. Maybe in Russia it was different. I don't know. Fine. Now, there's just a ha'ara on the Ramah, which I don't really know an answer to. The Ramah Sif Yud writes, what about the reverse case? V'chein uman Yisrael she'asa kli lovid kolchavim v'kano mimenu yitbelenu gam kein belo bracha ima ovid kolchavim nasan la matros. Let's say you have a Jewish craftsman. The guy gives him the material. The Jew makes the kli. And then the Jew decides to buy the kli. So you should do tefillah belo bracha. Why? This is the opposite case. In other words, here, Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, so therefore the Yisrael's the Uman. So maybe if you think like Tosfos, right, if you think that it's Tali and Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, it would be Pater, and if you think it's not Tali and Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, then you would be Chayav. That's what it sounds like from the Rambah. But the the Gran, the Pri Chadash, asked, this doesn't seem to make any sense. Why? Because let's say you hold Oman Kona Rishvachli. So what would that mean? That means you're Kona and Nishvach. So you'd only be a partial owner. And we paskin that if a Jew buys from a shutfus, a Jew and guy, or a Jew has a shutfus with a guy, and he buys out his partner, so you're chayav in tefila at that point. So Oman Kona Rishvachli might say you're a partial owner, but not a total owner. And therefore, when you buy it from the guy, of course you should be chayav in tefila. And why does the Ramah think you would be pater, or it would be subject to this machlokas, and therefore you wouldn't make a bracha? One other har on shutfas. So again, we quoted before the shach, who understands that the p'tur by shutfas is not, if a Jew and a guy own a kli b'shutfas, it's not the pshat that be'etzem it's not chayav in tefila. Rather, it's chayav in tefila, but tefila doesn't help, because tefila is like eros, and you can't be tovel a gayish kli, right? He says, Yisrael v'ov kolchav v'shkibul b'shutfas ein shach tefila mitam shakasav ha'eser v'heter d'habivadei eino yotzi midei shem tumah b'tefila zu d'harei adayin shem shutfas ov kolchavim alav. So the base mayor says, if that's true, so then there should be an iser shtamshus. In other words, if the shach is saying fundamentally you're chayv and tefilas kalim, but you just can't do it, so then it should be their aser to use. Just like we say every other kli that you're chayv to be tovo, but you can't be tovo for some reason, like on Shabbos, right? On Shabbos we say that this kli is chayv and tefila, and I can't do the tefila because it's a drabbanan of doing tefilas kalim on Shabbos, and I'm not allowed to use it on Shabbos unless I go give it to a guy or something, right? So too over here. Says the Beis Meir, according to the Ramah, according to the Shach, I shouldn't be able to use this kli. So what did the Shach think? So the Chalkos Binyamin says maybe the Machlokas is that, this is on page Reish Tzadi Dalet in the Biurim, the Ramah held the Isser Shtamshas was Dirabanan, Kedei Shelo Yeshaha Litzvol. And therefore, when I have no possibility of being Tovel, then I'm Pater. And it's not like the Shabbos case, where at least theoretically you could be tovel, right? Here, tefila wouldn't help, even if you did it. So therefore, this Rabbanan was only gzeira shema yisha litvol, and that's not shayach here, because even if you're tovel, it doesn't help. The mele, the Rabbanan doesn't apply. And what does the base mayor hold? He holds it's an iser deraisa, the iser hishtamshas. Or maybe even the Ramah. Maybe even the Shach holds it's an iser hishtamshas mideraisa. But the iser hishtamshas, like we said, comes from the mitzvah to be tovel. So there's no mitzvah because it won't be effective. So then there is none. Fine. But that's why we mentioned last time that some recommend not to use the eitzah to get out of tevila by making a shutfus with a guy, because they're choshish for the view of the base mayor that if you make a shutfus with a guy, it's true, you can't be tovel it, but you're still being mevatel the mitzvah. And Ariel Diamond made me promise to also mention that there's another issue of making a shutfus with a guy, because the Gemara says it's aser, gzeira, that you might cause him to take a shvua l'avodazara. Okay, one last shutfus issue that comes up is what's the halacha with publicly traded companies? So what do we say? We say that if you buy from a shutfus of a Jew and a guy, so then you should do tevila. Good. That's if you want shach, sifkat, and chavav. So let's say you buy from Macy's. I'm assuming Macy's is a publicly traded company for the moment. So now, so it's owned by Jews and Gayim. So l'chora, okay, should be chayv and tefilas kalim. Rav Moshe in one place sounds like we look at the controlling interest. So let's say the controlling interest of Macy's or majority shareholders were Jews, then maybe not. Maybe it would still be a shutfus, unclear. But the pashtus is we generally assume from most publicly traded companies it's majority owned by non-Jews, and therefore, l'chora, you should be able to be tovel. It shouldn't be a problem. However, maybe it's not so pashut, because other poskim say no. We look at a publicly traded company not as a shutfus, but as some type of other entity. Just like actually in American law, right? And a corporation doesn't mean the same thing as a shutfus. It's not a shutfus from all the stockholders or shareholders. Rather, it's a independent entity that you're a shareholder in. But there's differences between shutfus and shareholders. So there's a question whether such a idea exists halachically. Some try to bring a raya from the Maror Horza ruled by Tfusas Abayis and communal ownership. A very big discussion in a poskim, very interesting discussion. But one way or the other, there are some poskim that say, no, we still treat it as a shutfa. Some poskim that say we treat it as an independent entity. So if you treat it as an independent entity, so what's the halacha? So the Sefer Tefilas Kelim, page Samach Dalet, Ha'ara 1 star, says in Shlomo Zalman Orbach that still you'd be chayiv in tefillah because it's nichnas l'kedushas Yisrael. It goes from an independent entity to kedushas Yisrael, and therefore you're chayiv in tefillas kelim, and maybe even if to majority Jewish shareholders, that would be true. However, Rav Shechter is not so sure about this. He thinks that if it's an independent entity, there's no chayiv tefillas kelim because it's not konim and agai. It's kind of from a publicly traded incorporation. And that's not Kinyan Menagai. So according to Rav Shechter, you should be tovel without a bracha. So if you buy a kli from Macy's, then you should be tovel without a bracha. Now, a lot of times, even if the company that made it is a publicly traded corporation, the store that you buy it from is not. Right? If you go ahead and you buy a metal spatula from Key Food, so Key Food is a franchise, it's owned by the owner, by a single owner, and therefore you would be chayv in tefillah. So you have to look at, really, the question is, are you buying it from, you'd have to look at the store that you're buying it from, not the original factory or company that made the product in the first place. But indeed, according to Rav Shechter, there will be cases where practically you should be tovel without a bracha because of that. I would assume that if that's the case, if one wanted to be choshesh for Rav Shechter, you should try to be mechayved in tefillah in some other way. So one way, if you to do it, would be you could go ahead and give it to a guy matan al manas lahachzir, and then if he gives it back to you, so then it turns out you got it from a matanet from a guy. And then you'd be chayv in tefillah, or something of that nature. Yeah.
If the individual store has an individual owner, then it goes based on that owner only, or then it's not. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because then you're buying it from a guy.
So wouldn't that always be? I don't know how they like.
No, I don't think Macy's is individual owners. I think the stores are part of the broader company. Again, you have to figure out: is it a franchise? You have to sometimes be mevara these things. Okay, what's halacha if you don't know if the company you bought it from is, or the store that you bought it from is Jewish owned or not? So, some poskim, take a look at Tefilas Kelim, page Samaches Aravav Star, some poskim say that maybe you should be able to follow Rov, because Kol Chavua Kemechtz Al Mechtz Adami, right? I buy something from Amazon, and who knows, you know, it might not even be from Amazon, it might be from one of their other companies, and this, I have no idea if they're Jewish owned or not. Some of them are stores, small things. So, okay, so America, Rove people are Gaian, right? But maybe we'd say, Kol Kavua Kemechtz Al Mechtz Adami, so I shouldn't be able to be Tovel without a bracha. Sorry?
What's Kavua?
The stores, the owners, the companies that sold it to you.
You're buying it from that warehouse, from the store that you give them money
and they package it up and they mail it to you. So you're buying it from that owner of that store. So you don't know if he's Jewish or not. And you don't know if he's a public corporation. You don't know anything about him. It might be some guy in his garage, right? So unclear. It's unclear. But Rav Moshe does have a tshuva where he says that Igros Moshe Or Chaim Chelakim Al Siman Dalet that Kelim Habayim Miyapen Vesin Kulam Nachrim, so you're definitely chayiv. And he says, in Eretz Yisrael, Ein Sarach Lahatfil Klal. And when it comes to America, he doesn't say. I suppose he thinks you should be Mevarer, and you can't be Makel just because of Rove, because it's Milsadev Shalavarer. So you should try to find out. Okay, so, yeah.
I guess this also relates to the last thing that I recorded, but so you have a stone, silver store, or something like that, so often it could be owned by Jews, it could be made overseas.
Right.
So what would we be choshed, I guess, for that? Essentially, be Tobel for that bracha.
Well, I go ahead and I go to Borough Park and buy it from a Jewish silver store.
Yeah.
But they bought the kalim from some company in China that made it. So why wouldn't you be able to be tovel with a bracha? You're saying because it's because they're klei shchora and the like? Well, it depends. If it was a Jewish, if the company that made it was Jewish owned, but had non-Jewish workers, and then we would say you're pater from tefillah. But if it's a non-Jewish company in China that makes kiddush cups, so then you'd be chayiv. Okay. So now just in terms of the ma'aseh tefillah, a couple of points. So first of all, you need tefillahs kelim in a mikvah, as we said. So what about, interesting question, sometimes you go camping and you have some kelim that need tefillah, you know, have a new grill or something like that, so you need to be tovel your grill, the rack, whatever, the grate from the grill. Ah, great, there's a river. Can you be tovel in the river? Not so pashat, right? Because meg shamim are pasul bezochlin. So the Gemara says you follow Rov, the Gemara Nadar Mem on the base. So the Gemara says in Tishrei and Yomei Tishrei, it's kosher, and Yomei Nisan, it's pasul, and because it could be coming from a mayan or it could be coming from rainwater. Mayan is okay, bezochlin, rainwater isn't. Venutam is mekel for rivers. The Rama in Resh Aleph Sif Beis says you shouldn't be somech on Rabbeinutam except Shas Hadchak. So it's not so pasha to just go ahead, you see a river, and think, oh, I'll just boot Tefillahs Kelim in a river. No. Not pashut that it works, and you have to keep that in mind. What about in the ocean? So there, the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Aleph Sefei Paskins that it's okay. It's like Mayan that's Dino Delatar Bezochlin, but there's a different problem with Yamim, which is that they said women shouldn't be Tovel in Yamim because they're afraid chatzitzos for the sand on their feet, and maybe they'll be afraid to slip or the like. So that halacha, that the women shouldn't be tovelos b'yam, doesn't apply to tefillahs kelim because there's no concern. So you can be tovel in the yam. What about in a lake? Right, this comes up. Could you be tovel or kelim in the lake? So it depends. If it's the lake really a slow-moving river, which many lakes are, so then it would be a problem. If the lake is a true stationary body of water, then it would be okay. It's not always very easy to figure this out. Like, I remember, for years and years, Rav Willig would be working on trying to figure out what the status of the lake in Marasha was. With maps and this and that, inputs and outputs. So it's not always so pasha to figure out what a lake is. A lot of lakes look like lakes, but are really slow-moving rivers. It goes in, gathers, and then it leaves. We talked about Shelag already, so we'll leave that. Okay. Other ways in which we say the halachos are the same or different from tefillah for anida, for mikvah. So number one is that the Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Beis writes, they have to be tovel yadakli, and the Mordechai says this is because we derive tefillahs kelim from mikvah, because it says mei nida, so you have to put in the entire kli, including the handles, all at once, like the Pischei Tshuva Sifkat and Gimel writes, at the same time. Okay, we talked about also having a gaidu tefillahs kelim. The Shulchan Aruch writes that it works based off of the Rashba. We also said this is even if you say you need kavana for tefillahs kelim for nashim lechatchila, here it works. We talked about that. However, the Taz brings up an important point, which is you shouldn't ask a guy to do the Tefillas Kelim because then he'll be mafsid the bracha. But he says it's okay if you make the bracha and your tova one kli and he does the rest. We noted it's very interesting because he's concerned about losing the bracha. He's not concerned about losing the mitzvah. Maybe he holds you're not losing the mitzvah. You're making the mitzvah when you tell the guy to do it because you're causing the kelim to be toveled. Even though there's no formal shlichus, maybe that would work. I'm not sure. It's an interesting question. But the Prichadosh actually disagrees with the Taz. He thinks that you can make a bracha on the tefillah of a guy because you're causing the tefillah to happen. Is this a machlokas in dine brachos or machlokas in tefillas kelim or the like? It's an interesting question, but we're running out of time. Okay, another question, another comparison to Hilchos Nidah is you have to remove all chatzitzos, the ritva, in the Avodah Zarah Dibur Maschil Havei, in the name of the Ravid, says that's because, again, we learn it out from Tvilas of the Nida. Interesting why you need a Makor, but also another interesting, not for now. But we know what halacha is. When it comes to chatzitzos midiraisa, if it's rubo umakbid, it is a chatzitza that's posel midiraisa, so the tefillah is invalid midiraisa, it's rubo umakbid. But midiraisa, if it's miyot umakbid, or rubo v'en umakbid, it is a valid chatzitza, a valid tefillah. However, midirabanan, they said whether it's rov ve'eno makbid or miyat umakbid is an invalid tefillah, you'd have to be tovel again. And therefore, even a small chatzitza that you are makbid about, meaning say you don't want it to be here, and you'd want to remove it, so that is a chatzitza. What about if it's miyat ve'eno makbid? This comes up all the time. There's a sticker on the bottom of my bowl. So this is not a bowl. Let's say it's a kitchen bowl. Right? I don't even bring it to the table. I don't. It's a cheap $2 bowl. It's not like something that I care about if there's a little sticker on it or a price tag or the like on the bottom. Do I have to remove it? So the pashup shot is you don't. It's miyot ve'eno makbid. Miyot ve'eno makbid should not be a problem at all. However, there are some poskim, including the Chalkas Ben Yamin, who says, well, one second, Ramah writes in Kuf Tzadiches Aleph that the minug is to be machmir even for miyot she'eno makbid, for tefilas nashim. It's not even clear that Ramah means that, but the Taz learns the Ramah that way. So since we equate the halachos to tefilas nashim to tefilas kelim, and there's a minug to be machmir for tefilas kelim not to even have a chatzitza that's a miyot she'eno makbid, so therefore, for tefilas kelim as well, you shouldn't have a chatzitza that's miyot she'eno makbid. There's a bit of a chiddush, because maybe we're more machmir for tefilas nashim, right? It's a kareis, it's a vade derais and the like. But the Reuilik said you should try to be machmir and take off a chatzitza that's miyot she'eno makbid. However, you don't have to drive yourself crazy. Sometimes you have chatzitzos and you try to scrape it off and then it doesn't come off. And if you want to really get everything off, you'll need a nail polish remover and what's that thing called? Gugan, yeah, and this and that, and it takes you 10 minutes. He didn't think you have to drive yourself crazy. If you're really eno makbid, and it's miyot, then don't worry too much about it. Really, it's okay. How do you define makbid? So there's a big machlokas Rishonim. Do we follow you? Do we follow Rov Bnei Adam? Maisur machmir for both. If either you're makbid or Rov people are makbid, then that would be considered a chatzitza. At least l'chatchila should be removed. One last thing. Let's say you have fancy crystal that has a sticker on it that says this is fancy crystal. You paid a lot of money for it, or whoever bought it for you did. Right? So do you have to remove such a sticker? The answer is, of course not. Adirabba, you want it to be there. Right? There's no problem with keeping such a sticker on your kli, because that's not something that's a chatzitz at all. It's part of the kli. You want it to be there. Such a sticker need not be removed. I guess if you, like, you know, you really, you know, maybe it could apply to a price tag also if you want people to know how much you spent. Okay, but now usually some fancy crystals have stickers on it that show that they're fancy, that need not be removed.
Is that the same thing with the cast iron pots from before? It's covered in patina.
Yes.
It should be a chatzitza, but you want it to be like that.
Yes, that would be okay, I think. Okay, the next question is a chatzitza and a maisa tefillah, namely with your hands. So, This is a very difficult issue, which we're going to unfortunately have to do pretty quickly. The Mishnah in Mikvos, you have to learn the Mishnah to understand this, says the following. Ha'ochez ba'adam uvekelim umatbilam temein. So, if you hold on to a kli, and you hold on to it tightly, and you are tovel the kli, so your hands are a chatzitza, and the tefillah is invalid. And therefore the Mishnah says, this is a Tanakama, v'mhidiach yadav b'mayim tahorim. Why? Because the hands on your, the water on your hands is mischaber to the water in the mikvah, and therefore there's hashaka, and it's a good tefillah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, yirape es yadav. In other words, if you loosen your hand, so then the water can enter, and it's also a valid tefillah. Now the Rambam and the Ramban learn that the Tanakama is machmir, meaning to say that the Tanakama says, no, you must be melach lech yadav. Don't just loosen your hands. Why? There's a concern you won't loosen them sufficiently because you're afraid that your kli is going to break and drop. And therefore, if you try to rely on the eitz of yirape yadav, you have to be tovel it again, midrabanan, even if you are effective in being merape yadav, because there's a gzera, shema lo yirape yadav. Whereas the Rashba says the opposite. No, the Tanakama says that, that Rabbi Shimon is the chumrah. He says that the Tanakama, of course, says hadacha works, and Rabbi Shimon says no. Kevan sha'asui lidchok yadav al ha'adim v'kli. So therefore, you can't rely on hadachas yadav because you might hold on too tight, and therefore you must hold on loose. So how do we paskin? Obviously we paskin the Tanakama, but Lamaisa, do we learn like the Rambam or the Rashba? So the Shulchan Aruch obviously learns like the Rashba, because Shulchan Aruch says you could do two eitzos. You could either loosen your hands or you can wet your hands. However, the Shach says, why is the Mechaber being so same like the Rashba? After all, the Rambam is Machmir, and Dafka, you should need Hediach Yadav. So, therefore, the Shach says, Dafka, you should be Mediach Yadav. That Shach Sivkat and Vav. The Pischei Tshuva Sivkat and Hei quotes the Tiferes Lamosha that says, no, Dafka Lagabi Tfilas Nidar, Tfilah Mitumah were Machmir, that you need to be Mediach Yadav. There we have Gzeira Shemelo Yirape Yadav, because it's Nisr Chamor, Mashen Kain over here, one could be Mekel. And therefore, even Rambam would agree in this case that if you loosen your hands, it's okay. All right, L'chatchila, one should probably follow the view of the Shach, at least L'chatchila, and not rely on just loosening your hands. Now, there's... there's another question, which is the Ramah. The Ramah says that when you're melach lech yadav, you should be melach v'dafka shalich lech yadav b'mei mikvah avalo b'mayim tlushim. So the problem is that that halacha doesn't seem to make any sense. Why? I guess the Gra, the Taz, everybody points out. Let's say I go ahead. So I put my hands in the mikvah. Now my hands are wet. I take them out. I take my cup and I put it in the mikvah. When I took my hands out of the mikvah, that mayim now becomes mayim tlushim, right? And therefore, it's irrelevant that I happen to have wet my hands in the mikvah. I may as well have washed my hands in the sink. The water of the mikvah, once it leaves the mikvah and is on my hands, is no longer mikvah water. So therefore, the Ramah's Eitzah of wetting your hands in the mikvah doesn't make any sense. So there are some that say, including the Mati Yonasan on the side of the page, he says, no, that's actually what the Ramah meant. The Ramah meant you should wet your hands in the mikvah, not remove your hands from the mikvah. What does that mean? That means I should basically, let's say, pass the kli in the mikvah from one hand to the other hand, right? So therefore, my hand is wet from mikvah water without my hand ever having left the mikvah. Then the Ramah makes sense. It's still a big, it's a big chumrah that we would be choshish for that. So we'll see, maybe it's a view of the Mordechai. But that's what the Ramah really means. But the pashup shot in the Ramah is that you have to be melach lech yadav b'mikvah, but then you can take it out, and that's what the Taz and the Gras say. It doesn't make any sense. Now, what does the Taz say? So the Taz has a whole arichas here, but Bekitzer Nimratz, what comes out is as follows. He says, really, there are three levels of strength, of tightness, that you could hold a kli. If you have, number one, is a loose grip. Dibuk Ratha. If you have a loose grip, then for sure, it's so loose that when you put your the kli in the mikvah, water will get underneath it. Okay, so a loose grip works l'kulei amen. Now again, according to the shach, you shouldn't do that because maybe your grip won't really be loose, right? Because he's choshesh for shitas Rambam. But at least in theory, a loose grip will work. Fine, that's opinion number one. That's grip number one. Then there's what's called a dibuk benoni. A dibuk benoni means that there is, your grip is tighter, but there's still a chut shel saira of water between your hands and the kli. Or it's tofeach al menas latfiach. Now, that allows for hashaka. So therefore, if you have a dibuk benoni, even if you wash your hands in the mikvah, in the sink, but then I put my hands in the mikvah, or I put my hands in the mikvah and I take them out and then hold the kli, so dibuk benoni is, a dibuk benoni allows for hashaka. So it doesn't matter that when my hands went into the mikvah, that was maim telushim, but that maim telushim becomes mei mikvah when my hands are in the mikvah. So if you have dibuk benoni, you don't have to use mikvah water. You could use sink water. Where did this idea come from of using dafka mikvah water? That's from Mordechai. That's not from the Mishnah. It's a different halacha. It's from the Mordechai. And that's the concern of dibuk chazak, that you could perhaps hold the kli so tightly that there isn't even a mashkeh shetofeach menas lashviach, and therefore hashaka doesn't work. So what do you do in that case if you want to hold it on really, really tightly? So there you need something called mayim makdimim. What does that mean? Lamashal, why is it that when I go into a mikvah, I walk down to the mikvah, and when I get to the bottom of the mikvah, my head's still out of the water, my feet are underwater, then I put my feet in, why don't I have to jump? Right? Answer is because mayim makdimim, there's mikvah water. And that's true even if it's dibuk chazak. The Mishnah says, for example, let's say you're being tovel a bed. Let's say the mikvah is 3 feet deep, and the bed is 3 feet 1 inch high. So you put the bed into the mikvah, and then you push. Obviously, this only works if you have like a dirt floor, right? You push it underneath and you dig the legs into the mud. That works. Why? When the top was out of the mikveh, the legs were in the mikveh. When the legs were in the mikveh, the top was in the mikveh, the legs were under the mikveh. No, my makdimim. That works for mikveh water. That works even for dibuk chazak. So if you want to do dibuk chazak, so then what's the halacha? So then you need to use mikveh water. And you can't take your hands out without it. So Allah HaLamaisa, what do we hold? So the Chalkas Ben Yamin thinks L'chatchil Yishmi Machmir for all the Shitos, which means that the Matihona son, so therefore the best way to do it is to pass it from one hand to the other, or to let go for a second. Others say, no, you don't have to be so Machmir. If it's Dibuk Beinuni, Lich Lech Yadav B'mayim Tzlushim is good enough. And as we said before, one could certainly be somech on that if you want to cover over an electronic hole to prevent water from getting into it. Okay. And the Gra doesn't even think you have to be hoshef the Mordechai. I think she could be somech on the Rush. That's totally fine. The bracha, the Shulchan Aruch says, one kli, you should make the bracha tfilas keli, two, you should say al tfilas kelim. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that he never heard of this. In the Vardik, everybody used to say al tfilas kelim even for one kli. So therefore, practically speaking, if you have one kli that's chayv in tefillah and one kli that's a suffix, so luchar it's okay to say al tefillas kelim, because according to the Aruch HaShulchan, even if you had one kli in the first place, you could say al tefillas kelim. The Shach quotes some of the minhag to say al tefillas klei matchos or the like. I don't think anybody has that minhag anymore. The Ritva of Avodah Zarah in Himmel Beis quotes the Shitas of Rambam, who says that you shouldn't make a bracha at all. Why? So maybe it's the Rambam l'shitaso, I think the tefillas kelim book says, because remember the Rambam says that there's an Isser Shtamshus. It's not a mitzvah, it's just an Isser Shtamshus, Beklisha Eino Tavul. You should make the bracha over Lasiyasan. What about if you forgot? So let's say you forgot to make the bracha until the kli is already in the water. So maybe it's Solim Machlokas Ramam or Zeruah, whether you could make a Tfilas, a Berkas and Mitzvah, not over Lasiyaso. Maybe here, there's another Tzad Lahaka, the Kesem Mishnah writes, that the Tahara doesn't take place until after you come out, when you're still in the mikvah, not, but nobody really likes that. There's an Orzeruo says that for Tfilas Kelim, you could even make the bracha afterwards, because it's like Tfilas Gerim or the like. Again, we don't pass it like that way, so I'm not sure, Halach HaMaisa, if you have no other Kelim, whether you still make a bracha at that point. It's an interesting Shaila. All right. Yashar Koach. Sorry for...